So you may recall here on Daf Zayin Amid Beis, we have a sugya of Sheva Brachos, but in that sugya, the Gemara takes a little bit of a break to discuss the bracha on Erusin. Because the bracha of Sheva Brachos, that set of brachas, is reserved for Nesu'in, for Chuppah. But there is such a thing as Birchas Erusin. In those days, of course, the Erusin took place, do you remember how long before the Nesu'in?
One year.
A full year. And at the Erusin, there was a bracha that was recited over a cup of wine on the mitzvah of Erusin. And the question of this Gemara is whether or not that bracha is called a bracha ktsara or a bracha arucha. Now, bracha ktsara, bracha arucha is not measured by how many words are in the bracha, but rather how many themes are in the bracha. If there's one unified theme, that's called a bracha ktsara, no matter how long it is.
Like a
shakal is a little easier, but you can have a bracha ktsara that's very, very long because it maintains one single indivisible theme. But if you have a bracha, even if it's short, but it has two different themes to it, that's called a bracha arucha. For example, Asher Bachar Bon, on Torah study. So it's a pretty short bracha, but it's Asher Bachar Bon Mikol, and the Nasan Lonas Torah. So the first half is God's Bechir of Klal Yisrael. The second half is Nesina Satorah. And although those two themes are related, but nevertheless they're distinct, and therefore we end with what's called a Chasima Baruch Ato Hashem No Seinat Torah.
Asher Yatzar is the same.
Yes, Asher Yatzar talks about God's creation. It talks about the Chalulim. It talks about the fact that, you know, if I didn't have this great miracle, I wouldn't, you know, and so forth and so on. And we end up with Mafli Lassos. So again, if we were studying Hilchos Brachos as a topic, you know, as a topic unto itself, this would be one of the most critical topics. Every bracha would have to be taken under the microscope, and we'd have to determine whether it's a bracha arucha or a bracha ktsara. And a way of identifying it is, does it have a chasima? So what about birchas erusin? So if you take a look at the Gemara, it is, let's start. Do you see where the Tosis Dibra Maschil Bialmona is? You see such a Tosis. If you go up one line, it'll say Tanya Idoch. We have a Brisa Mevarchim Birchas Chasan in Bebeis Chasan U Birchas Erusin Bebeis Erusin Birchas Erusin May Mevarech. What is the Nusach of a Birchas Erusin? So we have Ravin, and then we have Rav Acha. Ravin says, Baruch Ato Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Kedushanu Mitzvosu Tzivon Al Arayos V'Yosu Lanu Sarusos V'Yitu Lanu Suus Lanu Aydei Chub V'Kedushin. Period. That's the end of the bracha. So then if that's the end of the bracha, what kind of bracha is it?
Ktsara.
But Rav Acha Berei De Rava says, Misayim Ba Mishmei De Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Ato Hashem Akadish Yisrael Al Yidei Chub V'Kedushin.
You say the first one and then finish with this one?
And add this at the end. That's the chasima. So then it's a bracha arucha. Mandalo chasim mididavi abirchas haperis abirchas hamitzvah. In other words, just like on any mitzvah, we make a bracha ktsara. And so too, on any birchas hanenim, we recite a bracha ktsara. So it doesn't have a chasima. So too, the birchas erusin is also bracha ktsara. No chasima. Mande chasim, mide ahavi akidusha. You may recall that when we recite Kiddush, it ends with Baruch Ato Hashem Kadesh HaShabbos. That itself is a chasima, indicating that when we recite Kiddush, we're involved in a bracha arucha. And according to the second opinion, which is Rav Acha in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Birchas Erusin is to be classified as a bracha arucha. And perhaps it's no coincidence that to give an example and illustrate a bracha arucha, he mentions Kiddush, because if you take a look at Birchas Erusin, it says V'tzivano al arayos V'asalona sarusos V'hitalonu esanesuos. The whole discussion here in the substance of the bracha is about what we call Isa V'heter, correct? Number one, he talks about Erevah. Number two, he talks about Arusa, which is also an Isur, although it's only the Rabbanim, but it's an Isur. And then we finally get to Hitur Lano Al Yidei Chupa V'Kiddusha. So the whole bracha is that Kiddusha.
One thing, no?
And marriage itself is called in the Lashon HaShas Kiddusha. The Gemara says it's Asra Kuliyama Kehegdesh. So the concept of Kiddush is very much inherent in Kiddusha. Marriage is holy. And that's a uniquely Jewish concept, the holiness of marriage. And therefore, just like in Kiddush on Leil Shabbos, when we sanctify the Shabbos, we use a bracha Arucha, which has a chasima. So too, when we, through the bracha of Kiddush and Kiddushin, we likewise organize a bracha as a bracha Arucha with a chasima. That's the second view in the Gemara.
So you're saying technically it should be a bracha Ketara, but because it has aspect of being Mekadesh, then it's Arucha?
No, what I'm trying to suggest is that the reason why he illustrates his point that it's a bracha Arucha, he could have chosen many different bracha Aruchas. Like, for example, the last bracha before we eat matzah, which is called Magid, is a bracha Arucha, which ends with Baruch HaTo Hashem Gal Yisrael. There are zillions of examples of a bracha Arucha. Why did he choose Kiddush? I'm just saying because there's a certain similarity between the bracha on Kiddushin and the bracha of Kiddush. But what his point is that we have multiple themes in this bracha. Why do we have multiple themes? We start with Erva, we go on to Arusa, and Arusa has nothing to do with Erva, and finally we go on to Chuppah v'Kiddushin. So there's no less than three themes in this bracha. Therefore, this bracha is a bracha Arucha. And if it's a bracha Arucha, it needs a chasima. We're going to see that our minhag reflects the second shita, that this bracha is a bracha Arucha and it has a chasima. Baruch Ata Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael, Al Yidei, Chupa V'Kiddusha. What is the opinion of Rabbah? It's a bracha ktsara, and therefore it doesn't deserve a chasima. Then we're going to have to assume there's one theme. And I don't know, I'm a little bit hard pressed as to find one common theme here. So what do you want to say, Aaron? What's the one single common theme?
What you said earlier, Kiddushin.
You're going to have to go a little further than that, because again, the first theme is Arayos, is Erva. Mm. The second theme is Arusa. I think the one theme here, but now I'm thinking a second time, maybe what I'm going to tell you now is wrong. I don't know, let's try to throw it out and then rip it apart, as we say. I think the single theme that unifies these three mini-themes is that the purpose and the goal of Chuppah V'Kiddushin is to be matir.
To be?
Matir, to permit something that otherwise would have been awesome. So let's go through this. It says, Aser lanos harusos, right? The Isra Arusa applies before what? Before Nisuin. So Nisuin is a matir. Then he goes on, V'hito lanu hanisuas lanu. So again, he's talking about the Nisua is muteris. And how does he achieve the heter? Through Chuppah V'Kiddushin. The only problem I'm going to have here is what? Is Arayos, the first part of the bracha. Because Arayos is not something that has any heter. The Chuppah V'Kiddushin is not... You follow my point? Like, let's say a man marries his sister. The marriage is meaningless. It's not going to serve as a matir. So then, how does this bracha introduce a concept that's totally foreign to it? In fact, my question goes even further, because even according to Rav Acha, who defines and classifies this bracha, Birkas Hayosef, as a bracha arucha, okay, there are multiple themes, but all the themes have to be related to Chuppah V'Kiddushin. The theme of Arayos is irrelevant to Chuppah V'Kiddushin.
It would also be weird to have a bracha that most of its theme is Nisuin being made for Arison, right? This is a bracha for Arison.
Ah, you're asking another question. Okay, so maybe we pile on. Sometimes you ask many questions and you find an answer. But at this point, I think you're making life even more difficult for us. So Aaron's question is the following. This bracha is uniquely designated for the mitzvah of Erusin. Why then mention chuppah at all? Chuppah seems to be totally irrelevant. But let's go back to that first question about arayos. So perhaps we could say the following. We have a principle in Birchas HaMitzvah that we never make a bracha on an isur. We only make a bracha on a mitzvah saseh, not a mitzvah lo saseh. So for example, in Shechita, we're not making a bracha on the fact that now I can eat the meat, and before the Shechita I couldn't eat the meat. That's isur. The answer is the bracha is on the mitzvah of Shechita. The Torah says, v'savachta, that you should shecht. So then, why do we open the bracha of Erisin on osar lonu es harayos? If the rule of thumb is, we only make a bracha on a mitzvah, so I understand, hiter lonu es, right, what does it say? Hiter lonu es hanesuos lonu eidei chup v'kidushin. Okay, so that's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Ki yikach ish isha is a mitzvah. But arayos? Also, what is arayos? So again, I'm just exacerbating the problem. Now we have two problems. Number one, why are we talking about arayos over here? The theme and the subject matter here is the mitzvah of Kiddushin. He's not being Mekadesh in Erva. He's not being Matir in Isur Erva. There's no way, no how you can be Matir in Isur Erva. Second question is, Bechlal, why should we be Mevarech HaBracha on a losaseh? I'll give you an example. The law is that I cannot eat a piece of meat. Let's say I'm a shochet, and you bring me an animal, and say, Rabbi Berzon shecht it for me, if let's say I knew shechita. So the first thing I have to do is determine what? Before I shecht the animal? If it's a kosher animal. And for that we have what's called simoni kashrus. For example, in the case of Behema, I determine that it's Malagera, it's Mafresis Parsa. Now, if I check my house for chametz, just go, right, so what is the first thing I do? I make a bracha. But if I check the animal for simone kashrus, I don't make a bracha. What's the difference? The answer is that checking an animal simone kashrus is not a mitzvah saseh, but rather I'm avoiding the lo saseh of eating something that's not kosher. We don't make a bracha on a losas. But bedikas chametz was instituted mirabbanan as a mitzvah. And therefore I make a bracha on it. So once again, coming back to our case of Birchas Erusin, sha'asar lonu es harayos, that sounds like a totally foreign element in Hilchas Brachos. So what I'm tempted to think is that this bracha is not a bracha on a mitzvah, because otherwise it would have to be on a mitzvah say and not on the Isur Erva, but rather it's what we call a bircha shevach v'hodoya, that we're thanking Hashem for the kedusha that separates us from the other nations. Where do we find a bracha on kedusha that separates us from another nation? Kiddush on Shabbos. What else? Havdalah. What else? The bracha of Mila. Asher Kiddush Yedid Mibet, and that God separates us from the nations, we have the mitzvah of Mila. So sometimes the bracha is hot, is a cut and dry, simple bracha on a mitzvah. And the bracha is Asher Kinshonu Mitzvot Zivotzivonu Al. And we just... But here we have a case of a bracha that's not on the mitzvah of Kiddushin, but on the entity of Kiddushas Yisrael. What would be my proof to establish what?
Yeah, they're right.
Wait, before we get to Arayos, what would be a clear-cut proof that this bracha is not on the mitzvah, but it's on the kedusha? The chatima, exactly. Baruch atah Hashem, mekadesh Yisrael. You've sanctified the Jewish people. Now, if that be the case, then we're going to look and try to determine, in order to organize this bracha, how do we prove, how do we demonstrate that you were mekadesh Yisrael? And the answer is there are many different elements that contribute to the Kedushas Yisrael of ishus, of marriage. The greater the isurim, the greater the kedusha. Right, a kohen is greater in his kedusha than Yisrael because he has many isurim that Yisrael doesn't have. Aaron, you agree? Anytime we need a barometer to gauge kedusha, there are many levels of kedusha. We check how many isurim there are. If we want to thank Hashem for endowing us as a unique people with kedusha in the area of relations between men and women, then the greatest proof is sha'as olon of asarayas. We have tons of arayas. The list is long and impressive. Ben Noach has 6 arayas, and even that is an issue. Sha'as olon of asarayas. Right? And then the Torah gave us an ability with regard to certain Isurim to be matir those Isurim. So the whole process of Isurim and removing those Isurim is all indicative and demonstrates Kedusha of Klali. So Makadish Yisrael. It's exactly like Kiddush, because we have the Kedusha Sazmanim of the 3 Regalim, we have the Kedusha Sazman of Shabbos, the Goyim don't have. That is the greatest expression of the choice and the sanctity of the Jewish people. Baruch atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael Vazman. That God gave us a Kedusha and we have this man. So therefore I would suggest that Kiddush is a Birchas Hashem. Here we find a very interesting case of what I call a hybrid. It's an integration of 2 different categories of mitzvahs. Usually, we separate the categories of mitzvahs. There's a birchas mitzvah, there's a birchas shevach odoya. Here we have an overlap. Fascinating case of an overlap. It's a mitzvah, and at the same time, it's a shevach. It's a brach on the mitzvah, asher kitshanu mitzvos v'tzivanu, and the mitzvah is going to be kedusha. But here we want to indicate also that we're thanking Hashem for setting us up as a unique people and sanctifying us. That sanctity perhaps would answer your question. Why are we mentioning chuppah here? This is a bracha on Erisim. The answer is the Kedushas Yisrael is complete with chuppah. Because as long as we have Kedusha without chuppah, we're only halfway there. We have the Iser element, because an Arusa is still Asur Labayla. We don't have the full-fledged Ishus, which is clinched with Chuppah. So if you want to know how a guy establishes a relationship with a woman, so the Rambam tells you the beginning of Hilchus Ishus, he meets a woman in the Shuk, and he says, you know, let's get together. That's already Ishus for a guy. But for us, it's a long process. And it requires Kinyanim, and it requires Kesef Shtarubia, it requires Chuppah, the whole kit and caboodle. That is indicative of the Kedushas Yisrael, both in the Iser Erva and in the Heter Al Yidei Chuppah V'Kedush. The only thing that bothers me about this bracha is why Chuppah first and then Kedushin. There's no way that you can have Chuppah for Kedushin. So I would have formulated the bracha a little differently, Al Yidei Kedushin V'Chuppah. Doesn't make sense to start with the progress, the sequence that has to take place. First Kedushin and only then Chuppah.
Wouldn't rhyme nicely.
Yeah, what do you say?
Wouldn't rhyme, wouldn't roll off the tongue. Yeah. Wouldn't the bracha have been more beautiful if it's to indicate the Kedusha to list all the arayas?
Man, I don't know. That would be a long bracha.
Really,
now keep in mind that back in the day they didn't even have Siddurim. They didn't have printed Siddurim. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be Masada Kedusha, you have to know all the list of the Akrayas. You have to memorize a few chapters in the Rambam and Hilchos Yisur. Hilchos Yisur B, I should say. Okay. Let's go on. Tana Rabbanan. With 2 lines below the end of Daf Zayinam and Beis. Mevarchim Birchas Chasanim Basara. Kol Shiva. For 7 days, we get together 10 people. And we're Mavarach Birchas Chasanim. Om Rav Yehud Vahu. What does Vahu mean? On the condition. Vahu means on the condition. Shebo Panim Chadoshes. Now there's a gigantic machlokas exactly what is Panim Chadoshes. I would like to leave that for a little bit later on. Because I want to discuss with you something before that, and that is the following. When we talk about Sheva Brachas, is there a relationship between Sheva Brachas and Birkas HaMazon? Or is it just coincidental that we recite the Sheva Brachas after Birkas HaMazon? It's just a sequence. You know, we have to finish the meal, we have to bench, and then we're ready for Sheva Brachas. Or is there some sort of integral connection between the Sheva Brachas and the Birkas HaMazon? What would you say, Brian?
Nothing's coincidental.
Okay, I gave away the answer, but... No, I'll tell you why. If I could prove to you that they recited Birkas HaMazon with... If I could prove to you that they recited Sheva Brachas without a Suda, that would prove that Sheva Brachas is not part of Birkas HaMazon, because if there's no Suda, there's clearly no Birkas HaMazon.
Well, it's being said, all the coast knows. You could say it's not a Birkas HaMazon, because it's on a Bracha Chrona, whatever the Bracha Chrona could be. No?
Well, there are 50 answers to your question, but I don't know if I even want to get into that now. Again, let's assume that they recited Sheva Brachas without a kos and without a suda. If I could prove that to you, then that would prove that Sheva Brachas is not connected to the suda, and it's not connected to Birkas HaMazon, because there's no Birkas HaMazon if there's no suda. If, on the other hand, I would insist that there's no such entity as Sheva Brachas without a Suda, then I could possibly, not necessarily, but I could postulate that the Sheva Brachas are connected to the Birkas HaMazon, and it becomes like one package called Birkas HaMazon and Sheva Brachas. Now, Brian points out that we recite the same identical Sheva Brachas under the Chuppah. In that case, I have no doubt that that Sheva Brachas has nothing to do with Birkas HaMazon. It's part of the Chuppah. Kalav lo bracha, asur lo bailo, kinida. Okay, fine. But what about the Shivas Yimei HaMishta? Mishta means the Suda, it means Birkas HaMazon. And one of the nafkaminas that I want to address is, let's say I show up at a simcha of chasam v'kala during the Shivas Yimei HaMishta, but I'm not interested in eating. If I'm not interested in eating, then I'm not part of Birkas HaMazon. If I'm not part of Birkas HaMazon, am I part of Sheva Brachas? So what happens? Imagine the following scenario. We've got 9 men eating at this Sudas chasam v'kala, and I need a 10th. So I call my neighbor as we're ready to bench. He hasn't eaten a thing. Can I be mitzarif him to the minion for Sheva Brachas? Or do I have to say to him, first you got to sit down and eat something?
This happened to me so many times.
It's very common, this question. So I gave out a page here. I don't know if you got it. I mean, I don't know if, you know, I never know how many photocopies to make here. So if they're not enough, you know, please accept my apologies. So you want to know about the Hagafen? That's what Aaron was talking about. The Hagafen has nothing to do with that discussion. The Hagafen is not a halach in Sheva Brachas. It's a halach in what's called Seder Brach Alakos. But again, you know, that's an hour's discussion unto itself. So let's leave out the Kos, because that's not really relevant to this discussion. Okay. Now, let me just get... I have a copy of the same page, but mine is a little bit larger than yours. I use the photocopy machine to expand it, so it helps me to see the print, because honestly, I find that print a little bit too small for my eye. Okay. Now, do you see on your page this second line on your page? What I mean is Rabbeinu Asher. That's the Rosh. And below that you see Rabbeinu Nissen. It should say 2 on the top of your page. So So the Rosh says the following. I underline. You have it? Yesh mekomos shebeshabbos achar siyum hatfila melavim kol hakolas achoson ad beso the omrim shom sheva brachos. This is really interesting. Because what seems to be left out of the equation here?
A
suda. In other words, they escorted the chassan, the whole community. Now again, you know, if they're very wealthy, you know, they can make a gigantic suda for the whole kahal. I know, for example, in Kew Gardens Hills, the Bukharim have once a month a Friday night meal with hundreds of people together. And it's a beautiful thing because it's a whole tshuva movement there. The tshuva movement is alive and well amongst Bukhara. Unfortunately, when you leave that community, it's not doing so well. But in any event, there's no indication here that they ate a suda. And it says, V'omrim shom sheva brachos. So the whole community, it's a beautiful scene if you could just close your eyes and imagine it in your mind. You know, the whole community walking behind the chasen kala, they get into the house and they recite Sheva Brachos. And then Vesholu Esrav Hai al Minog Zeh Veheshiv She'eno Minog Yofa. He didn't like this Minog. V'yesh omrim Dohod Mevarchim al Yidei Ponim Chadoshes Hainu Dafka Liachar Hasu'udo. So it seems from the Rosh, if I read this correctly, that there's a whole to-do here about whether or not that Sheva Brachos exists without a Suda. He goes on to quote Masechtas Sofrim. Okay. Yesh Nagu Rabosenu Lomar Baboker Birchas Chasanam Alakos Basor V'Ponim Chadosh is called Shiva V'chein Ba'erev Kodem Suuda. The Masechtas Sofrim records a minhag that twice daily during the Shiva Siman Mishnah they recited Sheva Brachos, once in the morning and once in the evening. But he emphasized that it was Kodem Hasuda, Rabosai. If it's Kodem Hasuda is an integral part of Birkas HaMazon, it can't be an integral part of Birkas HaMazon. It's before they even ate. If you take a look at the Ran says, V'yesh Omrim, She'em mevarchim birkas chasanim ella bebirkas hamazon. And he says that all the brisos that talk about birkas chasanim are talking about birkas hamazon. The lokamo shenagu achshav levarch birkas chasanim b'shishi u'b'shabbes shelo b'shas suda. I assume when he means shishi, he means leil Shabbos, the whole community, and the same Shabbos morning after davening, without a suda, the lesser. And he rejects it. And then he writes, Hare shaninu v'masech v'sofrim v'nagu loma v'brot v'boker v'rkas kasanam alakos v'asoru v'ponim chadosh is called shiva v'erev kodem asuda alma kodem asuda v'vorchen osa. So on the one hand, he insists that it's only Bibirkas HaMazon. And he's not going to validate this minog that on Friday night or Shabbos morning, they would escort the Chasen Kala back to the house and recite Sheva Brachos without a Suda. But on the other hand, he admits that according to the Masechtas Sofrim, they recited it even without a Suda. Now if you take a look on the top right of page 2, you'll see the last few words on the page, on that paragraph, which is Masechtas Sofrim, V'chein Ba'erev, Kodem, Hasa'udha. So let's just summarize what we've seen here. It's clear. What did he say?
The Gra changes that.
And the Gra changes to Lachar Hasa'udha because he thinks that the Ran quoted the Masechtas Sofrim as a proof that you need a Suda and it's part of Birkas HaMazon. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Asher, the Rosh, quotes the very same text of the Masechtas Sofrim, and his girsa is V'chein Ba'erev Kodem HaSuda. So it's basically machlokus between the Rosh, who maintains the girsa as we have it, against the Ran and the Gon who changed the Girsa to Liakas Suda. But be that as it may, it's clear from the sources that we have that there is a machlokes as to whether or not Birchas Chasanim Shevrochs can be recited without a Suda. Let's just turn quickly to page 3 and we'll look at the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simon Samach Beis, which is the next to the last source on your page, he says, "Ein lomar sheva brachas al kos birkas amozon elamevi kos acher." I think I found a more explicit case. Just 1 second. Oh, look at Sif Dalet, which is earlier on your page. He says, "Kshaomer osa acher birkas amozon." Is you can only recite Asher Bara. Okay, fine. That gets more complicated. But look in Sif Hei, Mevarchim Birchas Kasanim Beis Chasanim Achar Birchas Hamazon V'chol Suda Suda. I think that the Shulchan Aruch is clearly paskening like the Ran against one opinion, which we saw in the Rosh, that there is Birchas Kasanim without a suda. It's achar birkas hamazon b'chol sudu suda. Now the fascinating thing is, where does the Rambam codify the halachos of birkas chasanim? So truth be told, he codifies it in two places, and it's on the top of your page 3. First in Hilchos Ishus, but there he's talking about birkas chasanim Bishas Chuppah, which is part and parcel of the Chuppah, of the Nesu'in. And then he quotes it again in Hilchos Brachos. But here, look what he writes. He writes, Bibirchas, Bibes Chasanim, Mivarchim Birchas Chasanim Achar Arba Brachos Elu. What does he mean by Arba Brachos Elu? Birchas HaMazon, B'chol Sudu Suda. So it's really fascinating that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both accept this opinion, that Birchas Chasanim during the 7 days of Mishnah is part and parcel of Birchas HaMazon. Meaning, in Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam dedicates the second chapter to Hilchos Birchas HaMazon until he gets to Halacha Tes. And at that point, he tells you that part of Birchas HaMazon is in a base Chasanim to recite Sheva Brachos after the four. Clearly indicating that this is an essential part of Birchas HaMazon. So what is the nafkamina between these two opinions? The first nafkamina is, can you recite Birchas HaMazon without a suda? The second nafkamina is, can I add to the 10, can I integrate into the 10 people someone who's not part of the suda and is not going to be mevarch Birchas HaMazon? And I have a third nafkamina. The third nafkamina, I don't think, is on your pages, is in a tshuva of the Igros Moshe. Do you have that in on your pages? You don't have. Okay, so just to give you the background to this Rav Moshe Feinstein, is there anyone here in the room who's bold enough to admit, or maybe we shouldn't admit it publicly, but that he left the wedding hall before Sheva Brachos?
It has happened in the past.
It has happened on occasion, correct? The babysitter has to leave.
And the Hasa'ah is going back. They said Hasa'ah is at 10:30 exactly. We're not,
right.
Always happens at the Hasa'ah. It's 10:30, so you go
all the time.
Like, oh, wait, some people are waiting for Sheva Brachos, so we're going to wait for them.
So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question, are you allowed to leave before Sheva Brachos? And he said the following. Sheva Brachos is an integral part of Birkas HaMazon. To the same extent that you're obligated in Birkas HaMazon, maybe I shouldn't tell you this, you're obligated in Sheva Brachos. And your Sheva Brachos at the end of, whenever you leave, okay, at the end of this Simchas Chos V'Kala has to include within it Sheva Brachas. Did I say that right? Let me say it again. What I meant to say was that your Birkas HaMazon, at the end of your meal, in other words, your meal is Machayev you, not in 4 brachos, but in 11 brachos. 4 plus 7. So how can you leave before Birkas HaMazon? I mean to say, how can you leave before Sheva Brachos?
You make her Zima and do it yourself.
So Moshe says the following, listen carefully. It's not simply that Sheva Brachos is an integral part of Birkas HaMazon, and that's it, flat and straight to the point. No, it's much more complicated than that. It's that Sheva Brachos becomes part of the Birkas HaMazon of the group that is there to celebrate with the Chas and Kal. Let me say that again. This is not an individual issue. My Chiyuv Birkas HaMazon as an individual is 4 brachos, period. When does my Birkas HaMazon become 4 plus 7? When I become part of a unit that is going to create a Birkas HaMazon on behalf, or which contains within an element of Simchas Chos V'Kala. In other words, the Birkas HaMazon now has 2 elements to it. It's thanks God for the grub, for the food, and it's now thank you Hashem for this great Simcha of Chos V'Kala. But they all integrate into one whole, but only, he says, if I'm part of the unit. How do I become part of the unit? Through Zimun. Says Rav Moshe, if you know that you're going to have to leave the Sheva Brachos, you leave the Chasana Hall before the Sheva Brachos, then when you wash to eat the meal, you have to have in mind that you're not part of the Zim. In other words, if you wash at a Seudas Chos V'Kala, like after the wedding, at the wedding, right? I mean, say after the Chuppah, and you have nothing in mind, just washing together with the whole tzibur, right? You know, you get out of the chuppah and they say, here are the washing stations and we're about to eat a beautiful meal, correct? And they got the best caterer and, you know, everyone's schmoozing, which caterer did they get and what, you know, are they offering meat or only chicken and blah, 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 all the enters are talking, right? But you washed in order to be part of that tzibur. Says Rav Moshe, you can't leave. Because the halach of Zimun links you up not only to the 4 brachas, but also to the 7 brachas. The only way out, says Rav Moshe, is to have in mind at the time that you're koveh suda that you don't want to be part of the Zimun. Fascinating tshuva, Rav Moshe.
You do that, can you not be with people at the table?
Now, if you make a Zimun with people at your table, it gets a little bit more complicated. I don't remember if Rav Moshe, because I don't have in your photocopies the tshuva of Moshe, Belina, I'll look for it. I think that it has to be the Zimun Ba'asara, if I'm not mistaken. Because you need Asara for Birchas Chasanim, and the 2 dinim of Zimun, the Zimun B'Shlosha and the Zimun Ba'asara. So even if you have a Zimun B'Shlosha, you might be able to get away with that, but I'm not sure. You know, limited liability. I want to double check that.
If you have 10,
you can...
I've got the solution. The rabbi comes on time, the chuppah takes place on time, everybody eats the first 2 courses.
Ah, and then they bet.
Then you make the mezumen, and then everybody can do it, and then you can catch rice. Ah, the babysitter, whatever. Yeah, and these old people have got to get home before the...
The only people that you're in a sense, how should I say, undermining or cutting off here, is what do they call them? What do they call that group of people that you invite to come, you know, at 9 o'clock, you know, yeah, for the, just, you know, they allow you to eat from the shmog. In certain circles they're called Simchas Chos V'Kala. You'll see it in the invitation. For example, there won't be any, again, this changes from culture to culture, but here in Israel, that what they'll do is they'll omit in your envelope the RSVP card, because they don't care whether you come or not, you know, it's not, because you don't have a seat at the table. So they call it here in certain circles, they call it the Simchas Chos V'Kala, and you should know that there are tons of young people who come for that. I'll tell you why. Let's say a girl is getting married, she wants to invite her entire class. And you'll be amazed. Why do the girls want to come? They want to come. But in their multitudes, they want to come to participate. But you know, we're not wealthy people. We can't invite everyone to the Suda. So they get invited to the Simchas Chosav Kala. They tell them usually what time to show up. Let's say the wedding is called for 7, come at 9, come at 10, whatever it is. And they pile in there. So the only point I want to make to you, Brian, is that if you've already recited Sheva Brachas, so they lose out on that. You know, they won't be able to write the Sheva Brachas. But anyway, they're not eating a Suda, so who cares?
So, Rabbi, so you have to decide at the point that you're washing. You can't, because it's very hard to know at that point.
The Arab Sabbatah answered that.
How old is your
son? The Sheva boys are more important than any other guest at the wedding. They must be about to properly, and anybody else can come in the summer.
You remind me a little bit of my mother, may she rest in peace. In the circles that, you know, this is going back 40 years, today this is already out of... So the minute was that the singles, men and women, sat at different tables. They had separate seating for the singles. The marrieds were allowed to sit, you know, mixed. So my mother said, poof, I can't. The singles should be sitting at the same table. That will make some shidduchim. Anyway,
it's not true, right?
So that's what Rav Sabata was saying. You know, who makes the soup? It's the friends of the Chosakala. Why should they be coming in at 9 o'clock?
If my son's wedding, all the rest of us come. Somebody asked me the next day, how much did you pay them to come back to my
Okay. So what else did I want to show you on these pages? Let's see, I think there was one other thing I wanted to show you. Oh, take a look at the Ritva. The Ritva should be on the bottom of your page too. He says, Misadrin Oson al Koshel Birkas Amozan Atzmo. This is a fascinating question. How many cups of wine do you need? And I think Yonatan, who was it? You Aaron and Yonatan also were talking about the wine. How many cups of wine do you need?
4 cups.
You're already in the spirit of Veda. You're in the Veda Zman and Pesach mode. We're going to send you to Italy, you know. So give me a gut reaction to this question without thinking about what you know from the reality. I would say one. Why? Because if we assume that the Sheva Brachas is an integral part of Birkas HaMazon, why do I need 2 kosos?
So it definitely is part of the Birkas HaMazon.
No, I'm saying if we make that assumption, we told you before that that's a machlokas between the Ran and the Girs that we have in the Masechta Sofrim, which was accepted by the Rosh. So the Ritva says, Kishimavarchim Birkas Chasanim Besuda, Misadrin Oson, Al Koshel Birkas Amazon Atzmo. What does Atzmo mean?
One cup.
So again, we come to the table with all our, you know, pre-notion. What do you say?
Preconceived
notions. But the Ritva came without our preconceived notions. One cup. And I'll tell you the truth, the Ritva makes a lot of sense, at least to me. He says, I will be Masechta Sofrim, Kosuv Mefurash. Oh, this is going to be your Gaon, that you said the Gaon changes the gears to the Masechta Sofrim. Why? Because the Masechta Sofrim writes that you need 2 different kosos. Take a look in the Masechta Sofrim on the top of your page, line 3. He says, Umevi lo kos acher, mevarch lo bori pri agofen. So there are 2 kosos. Why should there be 2 kosos? He says, I'm going back to the Ritva now. Aval b'mesech the sofrim kosu mefurush shemavarchim birchas hamazon al kos echad v'acher kach mevim lo kos acher v'yomer lo birchas chasanim. Now look, I can tell you there's a whole sugi psachim called Ein Osin Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. So for example, if let's say you started a meal on Friday and you continued the meal and then it got dark and now you have to recite Kiddush, so the Gemara says you have to bring a second kos. You can't do 2 mitzvahs on 1 kos. So there's a mitzvah of Suda and Birchas Hamos on Alakos, and there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Alakos, he can't kill two birds at one stone. But there, the Gemara says, why is it Enos and Mitzvah Chavilus? Because they're two separate mitzvahs. And you can't fulfill two mitzvahs on one kos. You need a separate kos for each mitzvah. But here, if we say that the Sheva Brachos was established as an integral part of Birkas HaMazon, that in this case the Sudas Chos V'Kalin generates not four brachos, but 11 brachos, then one kos should be enough. And that's the Ritva's point. What do we do with the Masechtas Sofrim that says you have to bring two kosos, and that's going to be our minig in the Shulchan Aruch? So you're going to have to say that these are two different mitzvahs.
You can't have like the hybrid approach again. You can't have like that there are two mitzvahs that are attached. Just like how...
Again, what's your goal? Are you justifying the Ritva or are you justifying the Masechta Sofra? Are you saying that one kos is enough or two kosos? I want to know where, you know, just so I can focus on what you're saying.
Try to make them both right. That you have... two kosos.
No, but I'm asking the following. How do you understand that you need two kosos? It's one essential mitzvah. Let's assume there's no such thing as Sheva Brachos without a Suda. Well, let's assume. That's how the Shulchan Aruch passes. That's how the Rambam. Then I would say one kos is enough. Is there any way of reconciling the Masechta Sofrim who requires two kosos, and that's in fact our minhag, with the fact that Suda and Birkas HaMazon is the quintessential Machayev of Sheva Brachos? Why two kosos?
That's the history of the Jews. I mean, try to conquer us. We survive. Let's celebrate. Let's eat.
No, you're missing the point, Brian. What I'm saying is, he's telling you that you must get two kosos. Why do you have to have two kosos? Because we cannot fulfill two mitzvahs with one kos. This is not about eating and drinking. We had plenty of wine in the Suda. We're already dead drunk.
it is tachlis. You don't make two Birkei Hagafens. I'm saying like tachlis nowadays.
No, that has to do with something else. That has to do with Birchas HaNenim, I think. Because once you made a Birkei HaGafen, you could drink both kosos. Now, I just want to point out that the Ritva in the middle column, in order to support his approach that one kos is sufficient, he quotes the Baal HaItur, he writes, V'chein HaDover Nireh, and then he writes, Birchas Kasanim Bo Gamkein Al HaSuda, right, both the four and the seven come from the Suda, is therefore one kos is enough. Kechada milsa chashive. It's one entity. It's all suda. The suda itself is machayev all these brachos, 11 in total, and therefore there's no reason to separate them on two different kosos.
Could it be a practical reason?
No, this is not about practicality. You see, the Ritva compares it to Yaknahaz. Yachna is the case where Yontif, you know, coincides with Motzei Shabbos. You know, Yontif on Sunday, and you only need one kos.
For Avdol and Kiddush.
Yeah, for everything. Yain Kiddush Ner Avdola and Zman is Shechiyon.
I think that they both, that you have a Sheva Brachot afterwards. They're both connected, but they're both separate mitzvahs.
They're connected, but they're separate. They're like Aaron was saying. You mean, it's kind of like a complex hybrid.
And at a Sudat mitzvah, you'd have a kos one, and at the Sheva
Brachos. So I'm looking for something. Just give me a minute. He says the following. Nechleku Rabosein. This is Rav Tzvi Reisman, I think, or maybe one of his students. He says, Nechleku Rabosenu Harishonim Ha'im Mesadrim Sheva Brachos Al Kos Shel Birkas HaMazon O Shetzor Kos Achil Birkas HaMazon V'Kos Acheres L'Sheva Brachos. He quotes here the Ritva Sefer Sofrim. He says the following: Shoresh HaMachlokes. What's the root of the argument? Basheila Ha'im Chiv Sheva Brachos Hu Chelek Mi Birkas HaMazon. And therefore one kos, I assume, would be enough. He doesn't spell it out. He quotes the Avudram here. If you take a look on your page 2, The Avodram says, "Ubitzarfas nagu levarch birchas kasan besud al kol sheni v'lo al kol shel birchas hamazon." The Zayin brachas hein bezin yonim. Now, it's birchas hamazon and shevroch are two separate entities, two separate kiyumim. The ein osim mitzvos chavilus chavilus. You have to bring two different kosos. Yesh omer she'ein l'shanos ha'mina.
Sounds like it's a minhag question now, instead of
Well, no, if he's quoting Enos and Chavilos, he says that's a halacha that you require two kosos.
There's no isser here, right? There's no like bracha levatal, there's no like what did you do wrong? Like, say you only have one kos, but you're of the opinion that
if there's one mitzvah, you should not separate them in two kosos. He says, "This I don't know how to read this line. Maybe somebody could help me." He says, "Yesh omrim she'ein l'shanos haminog mizeh hatam." What is the minog that he's talking about here?
I have two.
The two kosos.
Have two?
Yeah.
I don't think so, because look at the next line. He says, "Mizeh hatam shekevet shebirchas habos v'shevbrachs mikoach achila heim boim ki inyan echad heim chashuv." So I don't know, there's something missing here, but at some point in this presentation, he tells us that the minhag was to use one kos. And he says that even though in France they had a different minhag, they brought two kos. He says, I'm not willing to budge. Our minhag is correct, and one kos is all we need.
And then he goes on and says, it's just like Kiddush and Amdal.
The achav she'achal who nischayev bi'elu hilkach ki'inyan echad heim nechshavim. The domim lekiddush v'avdol she'ein choshev mishum chavilus chavilus. I mean, there are many different brachos in kiddush, yet we recite them all on one kos. There's no need to require a kos for each bracha. Here too, it's all part of one machayev, one chiv, one kiyum of suda, and therefore one kos is sufficient. Now, how do we pasuk in Shulchan Aruch? Take a look on page 3. And we're looking at Sif Tes, which is like about two-thirds down your page. He says, Yesh omrim she'ein lomar sheva brachas al kos birkas amazon el mevi kos acher vi omr lov sheva brachas v'chos v'lokeh kos shel birkas maz v'omr lov bori priyagof. Yesh omrim de'ein tzoch ela kos shel birkas amazon u'mevarach sheva brachas. You only need one kos, v'chein poshet ha-minog, and that is the minog. In other words, the minog that we saw in the Avudraham is identical with the minog of the Mechaber, and that's because this is apparently the Sephardic minog, that one kos is enough. Then the Ramah adds, v'medinos elu, in our places, like Tsarfas or Ashkenaz, is nagim kisvar rishona. That requires two separate brachos, one for Birkas HaMazon and one for Sheva brachos. So basically, Rabbo said the reason why we're prejudiced in favor of two kosos is only because we're Ashkenazim and we're familiar with the Ramah.
What's the Ramah say after?
Yesh omer dafilu lasher barol chud beinon shtei kosos. It's a little bit erased. In other words, there was an opinion that when you get to the last bracha of the Sheva brachos, you should bring out another kos.
So there would be three.
There would be three kosos: one for Birkas HaMazon, one for the first six, and one for the seventh. So if you're in favor, Brian, of lots of wine, then you'll accept the Ramah plus this Yesh Omer.
Does that mean that's the...
Where we just have 2 minutes, so we'll take questions afterwards. I just want to hop around. He says, Donu ha-poskim ha'im chiv sheva brachos u'al ha-tzibur u'o'al ha-yachid she'mishtatev ba-se'udo v'nafkemina ha'im muto lazov kodem amiris ha-sheva brachos. If it's on the tzibur, then you're not obligated. But if it's on every yachid, then you have to be there. Shela zu nishala b'nu yark lemaras hal igris Moshe v'hu evi raya mi'ashulchan aruch b'sif yud aleph. Oh, we don't have that, do we? Oh, yeah. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud Aleph. Shechiv Hashem Rebrochus ala mesumim besuda nimtzoyim gam beis chasod mekala lo nochechim bo mashev shechiv mutal ha'orchim b'chasana. Wow. He wants to say that it's a chiv on the tzibur. And how do we know this? Because let's say you get together for the suda and the chasod mekala leave. Can you still recite Sheva Brachos? I never had that situation. I remember a case not long ago. You'll remember, Max, where the... I think it was the Kala that got very sick. Very sick, yeah. Yeah. So imagine if she would... At the end, she was there, but let's say Chas Shom, she would have had to have left. Right? I know of a story, I don't remember the details, where one of the two, whether it was Chos Kala, tripped at the dancing and got very, you know what I'm talking about. I had to go to the hospital. So the question is, can you recite Sheva Brachos without the Chos Kala? So I don't know exactly where this Mechaber is, I'm not seeing it right now, but he quotes the Mechaber that the Orchim at this Chasen are obligated in Sheva Brachos even without the Chos Kala. And therefore you see that if you're part of the Archim, you're part of that group, and you enjoy the Suda, then you're obligated in Sheva Brachos. So how can you leave, says Rav Moshe? Elisha Yatz, he gave an Eitzah, L'misha Munyan L'tzeit Me'achasin L'lifneishim V'achas Sheva Brachos, Shalo Lechel B'Suda, he shouldn't eat in the Suda. The Achakach Nosan Eitzah Cheres, the Elu Arotzim Shalo L'chakot Ad Gvar HaSuda V'Sheva Brachos, Yomru B'Feirush, they should actually say it out loud. Kodem She'yeshvu Lechel, before they sit down at the meal, She'eno Miskavdim L'tztarif L'kvius, Yachad Imshar HaMesubim. That seems to be the only way out. Then he quotes the Minchas Yitzchak. You heard of the Minchas Yitzchak? He was the Greivin, his name was Weiss, from England, who then came here to serve as the head of the Badatz in Yerushalayim. He writes, Midechazina b'shasu v'poskim v'shulchanoch di osru b'feirish lechol lelech kodim birkas ha-mozol u'birkas chasane v'lo pirshu. I'm sorry, one second, I didn't read this right. Midechazina b'shasu v'poskim v'shulchanoch di osru b'feirish lelech kodim birkas hazimun u'birkas chasanim sosmu v'lo pirshu sheish isur v'zeh lelech kodim birkas chasanim. Mashma l'choresh birkas chasanim leka iser b'zeh. In other words, in Hilchas Birkas HaMozon they all write that you're not allowed to leave before the zimun, but they don't say that you're not allowed to leave before the birkas chasanim.
Is it Hashem next week?
Mirtz Hashem, if everyone's on board.